Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath remodel is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Use digital tools to visualize flooring in your space and find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Prime's exclusive wild-card playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wild-card playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command, a emergency Take Command of sorts as we react to big news out of Commander's Camp. You can watch us on 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTube channels. Of course, you can listen to this audio wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, and please spread the word that we'll be here throughout the offseason reacting to all of the big news coming out of the Commanders facility. But Logan, we got to start with two coordinators out and the bigger of the developments. We talked about this on our last pod. There were rumors flying around. It's looked like maybe Washington, Cliff Kingsbury headed for divorce. And it has indeed happened after 2 years. Cliff Kingsbury's out. Your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, like, it's always tough when someone loses their job. And again, like, this sounds like it was maybe a little bit more mutual than a straight firing. So in some ways, that's good because they're kind of making the decision to move on together. But I always think, man, this is just a tough time of year for these types of things. And I have a lot of thoughts about, you know, what this means for the offense and what this means for the team. But yeah, my initial thought is just like, it's tough when you see, you know, two guys that I have a lot of respect for and Cliff and Dan not be able to figure it out and have to kind of go their separate ways.
Which is what happened. I'm told they had a meeting. They tried to hash out not only some thoughts on the agreements, disagreements on how the offense was run this year, but probably more importantly, the vision for the offense in the years ahead with Jaden Daniels. And it wasn't that long of a meeting because, you know, I was told kind of late morning, oh, this could linger for a while. Not sure if anything will be determined today. Within an hour and a half, we found out that Cliff Kingsbury was indeed not going to be coming back. So I guess let's just start with, how surprised are you that we're here? They were a top 10 offense a year ago, and they were elite. I mean, I've made the case. I will double down on this today. Still, outside of Jaden Daniels, you can make the case that the single most important person in the building last year in the NFC Championship game appearance season was Cliff Kingsbury. I thought their offense, you know, they didn't punt for weeks at a time. It was really, really impressive. He did some really good things. Obviously, this year with the injuries was not at the same level. They went from 5th to 22nd in efficiency, but they were still 12th in yards per play. Are you surprised that they couldn't figure this out amid the results that they had the last 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little surprised because, again, like you said, Cliff was outstanding last year. I thought he did some really good things this year. I think it comes down to some type of fundamental belief or some type of crack in the offense that, you know, we've discussed a little bit. So, like, you know, I kind of was working through, like, what I think it could be. Like, obviously, there is this thing in the air raid offense where you're kind of throwing to open up the run. You are putting a little bit more pressure on a young quarterback. The protection, we talked about this on the show on Tuesday, is not as kind of comprehensive. It puts a little bit more on the quarterback to identify the rushers, get the protection targeted, kind of throw hots, things like that. And so I do think maybe I could see that there would be a difference of opinion because, again, Cliff is so locked in on his offense. And like when you have an offensive coordinator, like I want that. I want them to believe passionately in what they're doing and what they're calling. And obviously there seemed to be some type of disconnect with what Dan and whoever else in the building wanted in terms of quarterback development plan for the offense moving forward. And I don't think Cliff felt comfortable doing that. Again, this is all speculation, just to be clear. But I do think that like if you wanted a certain offense, like if you're Dan, you want a certain offense, like I don't know if Cliff's going to be able to provide that for you. Or I don't know if Cliff believes strongly enough to make that change to his offense. And I think that's kind of where we end up today, you know, is them kind of, again, not aligned in terms of the best way to handle Jaden Daniels' development moving forward, the offense moving forward, and you get this parting of ways.
I think it's very okay to change your mind, right, if that's what happened. But when I hear you saying what you did, which I think is very reasonable, my first thought is you hired Cliff Kingsbury, right? Like if my wife came to me today and she said, bro, you watch way too much football. You are up at night watching late night NHL and NBA games and you eat fast food. Like, what is going on with you? You know what I would say? I would say, you married me. All of this was happening before you said yes when I got down on a knee, right? They went and found Cliff Kingsbury, pried him out of a deal that he basically was signing with the Raiders and brought him here. And Cliff Kingsbury showed up. So, like, the stuff that it sounds like doesn't work for them is very Cliff Kingsbury stuff. This is who you hired. What's the disconnect there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I'm having a hard time kind of chewing over at the moment as well. Like, it's this is you brought in a guy who runs a very specific type of offense. He's run that type of offense since he's gotten in the league, since he was in college. Obviously, it's changed and evolved. And I think you even see slight evolutions this year. So it's not like it's this completely static picture, but he's got principles that he believes in. It's just like Kyle Shanahan. If you bring Kyle Shanahan in, he's going to run the football a ton on first and second down. They're going to run a lot of outside zone. They're going to use it to set up the play action pass and boot. And it's like, okay, like now I'm mad that I don't have a spread guy here to run that kind of offense. It is a little bit confusing. And again, like I have gone through phases of being like, man, I really need to understand. But I think the thing that I've kind of reconciled here is I don't need to understand anything, right? Whatever that in the building happened is information that we're not privy to necessarily. And obviously we can speculate. And the only speculation I can see is that Dan and whoever else felt that they wanted to move in a different direction with the quarterback, with the offense to protect Jaden, to protect the team, to insulate the defense, whatever that reason is. And again, like you look at teams that play a little bit more complementary football, traditionally they run the football a lot. And so, you know, maybe that's kind of what they're aiming at here.
But Washington ran the football a lot. So here's the problem I have with like the run pass balance thing, which I keep hearing and was told by people in the building, out of the building, like was part of the frustration. So this is what I would love to drill down on, right?
Yeah.
Is what does that mean exactly? Because if you look at the numbers, Washington ran the ball at a 59% clip on first and 10, one of the highest rates in the league. They were actually fourth overall. It's not the best way to do it in just total quantity because obviously every team runs different number of plays. But only three teams ran the ball more on first and 10 this year, more times than the Commanders did. They actually threw the ball the fewest amount of times in the NFL on first and 10. And then if you actually dive into what, you know, game situations, so like when they were trailing, they ran the ball 10% more than league average. When they were leading, they ran the ball 8% more than league average. You know, when they were tied, they ran the ball more than league average. So what I wonder is, as I've kind of, because I'm doing the same thing you're doing, speculating on the outside, but wondering, you know, what's going on here. I have to wonder, is part of it like, you know, a lot of those runs are scrambles. A lot of those runs, not a lot, but some of those runs are designed quarterback runs. Does Dan Quinn possibly just want more runs from running backs? More of those plays. Like we saw this evolution in Baltimore where Lamar ran less and Todd Monken was basically, I don't know if he was instructed to or decided to run quarterback designed runs more infrequently as they got Derrick Henry. Like this year, I think Washington was 25th in rushing attempts by running backs. And maybe he wants just like a more traditional running game in that sense. That would not shock me. I would say, then why did you draft Jaden Daniels? Because that's part of the superpower. But that's another conversation for another time. But do you think I'm onto something here? Or like, just give me a thought on the run-pass balance thing, because I've dug into it. And this is not a team that doesn't run it often enough. Like,
yeah,
that'd be hard to argue.
Yeah, so I think the thing when people hear, I hear people say that, one of the things that I would, again, just like, again, trying to peel back the layers and kind of look through the fog here a little bit, is that one of the things that Kliff does is they're going to run a lot from the gun and they're going to run a lot from the spread. You are limited in that environment in terms of what you can do from a play action pass standpoint. It's just how it works, right? You kind of lose the ability to kind of get the back. You know, I don't have a problem with running a play action pass from the gun, but you need to think about what that looks like to the defense. You need to think about what the action looks like. You need to think how the route distributions you can get to. So like everyone, like just as a point of comparison, right? Let's talk about Kyle. Let's talk about Sean, right? They're in 11 personnel a lot, but they're in condensed formations quite a bit, right? So they're in formations that look like they're the way they build their game plan is they build it off run formations first. So like, how do we block these safeties? How do we block these overhang players? How do we block the late run fit player? Oftentimes you got to motion it tight. You got to shift to tight. You got to get in something where the receivers can go crack those quarter safeties. And then once we've built that formation, we kind of extrapolate out our play action pass game, and our drop back passing game. Obviously Kliff kind of goes the other way. He says, these are the formations we want to throw the ball out of. This is our base formation. And then we're going to kind of throw these gun runs, these spread runs in, and kind of it's like an afterthought almost. And so when you hear, you know, when I've talked to people in the building a little bit, they say we want to match up run and pass a little bit more. And again, that's something that I think you could see here. And I think, like, again, that would be a fundamental cornerstone of Kliff's office that I'm sure he wouldn't want to depart from.
Right.
So again, I think that's a connection that you got to think about. And then with regards to the quarterback run thing, I'm not sure it has to do anything with the running, with the running, but when you're in spread a lot, one of the things you're asking the quarterback to do a lot is make consistent decisions. Like when you are going to use quick game RPOs, zone read even, to maximize your offensive efficiency, you're asking the quarterback to consistently make decisions, as opposed to just being under center and, hey, we're going to run, you know, we're going to run power to the right. We're going to run power to the left. We're going to run counter. And then on the play action pass, instead of reading a 5-man full field concept, now we're just going to read, hey, we got a deep cross and a post, right? We're going to read that out. And that's a little bit easier. So I do think getting into more of a quote unquote West Coast Kyle Shanahan derivative insulates the quarterback a little bit more. And that's the whole cornerstone of designing that offense, right? It's like, we're going to run the football, set up play action shots, insulate the offensive line. And that's really why that works. And so again, the spread is kind of the reverse of that. We're going to leverage the quarterback. We're going to leverage the offensive line, and that's fine, but you got to know what you're getting into with both systems.
Yeah. So, and this is where it gets complicated, right? And I should say this too. And Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson with you on Take Command. I had gripes that we talked about as a show quite a bit, honestly, this year. And I agree with them on some of what they perceive to be the shortcomings, I bet you, of this offense. Like, there are things, it's just because you played and you know more about it than I could know in one cuticle in my whole body. But like, you're a Kyle Shanahan disciple as a player. Like, I covered that team. That's what I fell in love with offensively. Like, that's kind of how I see the world. And so, yeah, I similarly look at Kliff's offense and see some of the shortcomings that I don't love. So like, in this case, the fact that he doesn't marry play action as well as some of the guys around the league that operate more under center and some of those things do, I totally agree with that critique. And I bet you I agree with most of the issues they have with this offense. I guess it two things can be true, though.
Mm-hmm.
There are shortcomings. There are things that annoyed me. And at the same time, it's just surprising to me after 2 years with his results, with the year he just had, with the lack of man games, you know, number one in man games missed and injuries, backup and third string quarterbacks, that he's out. That's all. And like, so, in a world where I've basically said, no one should be questioning Adam Peters' job security, and I still feel that way. No one should be questioning Dan Quinn's job security. He gets a get out of jail free card because of year one. I don't know why Kliff wouldn't have been afforded that same opportunity. It's kind of the confusion for me.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months. $90 for 6 months or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
So I think, so again, this is something that I've thought about too. And I kind of got to go and look back and watch the games and kind of think about what is something that maybe I'm undervaluing in terms of exposure. And the one thing that really just jumps out to me is the protection plan versus teams that provide aggressive pressure. And that's been something that's been an issue since last year, right? We just didn't play as many teams last year that were super aggressive in terms of pressure. Like I look at the plan versus Minnesota, for example, and it's not the route concepts, it's the protection plan. Like our plan to handle zero, our plan to handle cross dog, how we're having the offensive line set. Like I look at other teams and how they handled it, and I was like, man, that's probably a better, more comprehensive plan. And one of the tools they use is they say, hey, we're going to kind of pack it in. We're going to get it tight. We're going to, you know, have more protectors in here. We're going to work run game a little bit more. And again, you look at that game where they kind of started throwing the ball a ton after that first drive. And you look at the Green Bay game where that team was getting after us a little bit, right? And it was a close ball game. And if you kind of said, hey, we're going to play this complementary style of football, we're going to run the football, we're going to be a little bit more conservative, a little bit more selective about when we're throwing the football, maybe we're in a better situation. You look at the first Dallas game, same type of thing. And again, I think there's more responsibility in that first Dallas game on Jaden Daniels' performance. I think he missed some throws and things like that where Cliff did a great job cultivating opportunity. But I do think that's the thing that really comes to the forefront is when they've played teams, in my opinion, that have had comprehensive pressure plans and designs, they have struggled to execute the offense even like at a fundamental level. And so as you're going to play more teams that bring a lot of blitzes and put you in these leverage situations, like that's going to be tough. And so I do think like what they're talking about, run pass balance, I think applies to those games probably more than other games. Because I think when you look at the Broncos game, when you look at the Atlanta game, like games where the offense was fine, they're kind of playing these more conventional, more vanilla fronts. And everyone talks about, oh, well, the Broncos, they get a lot of pressure. Yeah, but they rush four, they rush five. It's more conventional looks. I felt very comfortable with how they handled those blitz looks. When you play these teams that are a little bit more exotic, a little bit more aggressive, again, leaning into running the football insulates the quarterback, insulates the offensive line. And are you always on schedule? No, right? Because you're going to take some negative runs. But understanding the complementary nature of field position and balance in those games specifically come to the forefront. Now, that's three games this year, right? And so is that enough to kind of warrant moving on from somebody who was overall relatively successful? I don't know. But, and again, this is what Logan Paulson, head coach, right, would do. So this is not necessarily what Dan Quinn would do. But these are the conversations I'm sure they had. And again, like if I'm saying in these games to Cliff, you need to run the football more. We need to get more conventional in terms of our backfield sets, pro sets. And if I'm Cliff, I'm saying, dude, like I don't believe that's the best solution for this problem. And if that's what's happening, there's a fundamental schism there. And I understand why they chose to move on from each
other. And I also wonder this too. And I don't know this, okay? I just haven't had enough conversations with the people involved and I'm not in the building. But I do wonder, my time around and in the league makes me think, more times than not, when you have a defensive-minded head coach at odds with like a play caller OC and firing him, or in this case, this mutual parting of ways or whatever, you know, a lot of times you hear these things like complementary football or run-pass balance or whatever, and just the very DNA and philosophy they have on football can be different. Like if Dan Quinn believes that you know, the run is the priority, essentially, or that you the whole point is to run the football so that you keep the football. And Cliff Kingsbury believes, like I do, let's say, that you keep the football so that you can run the football. Like I'm a throw to set up the run guy, essentially. I am a, you know, it doesn't matter how you do it. You stay on the field. Third down conversions, passing the football, those types of things. Like the old adage, and I just think we're smarter now in 2026, is like, that you like establish the run. I don't believe really in that. I believe in establishing being on the field, time of possession.
Correct, yeah.
And that like like I heard, I was listening to someone yesterday and they're like, well, how many times did they run it last year? How many times did they run it this year? And like, that was their comp of like how committed they were to the run. Well, that's incorrect and ridiculous because number one, you're not accounting for how many plays you ran, which was a lot more the year you were good and winning. But like the point is,
But in some ways, it supports games. Your point, though. It supports your point, though. Like, right. If we're running more plays, like, we're getting more touches for the back. And that's something we've talked about on this show.
After a game, I'm like, Bill only got 9 carries. And we look at it, we're like, well, they ran 44 plays. Nobody got any. Terry got 2 targets, you know? If you run 67 plays. So that's kind of my point. I don't know this, but a lot of times the offensive-minded guy might be like, yeah, we didn't get enough plays so I could get to the runs. And the defensive-minded guy or the more traditional guy's going, hey, we didn't get the run established. I don't know if that's a thing, but it would not be the first time if that's a thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and again, like you can do both. I think when you look at like Seattle's offense as a point of comparison, they run the ball a ton on first and second down, right? But they have a really good third down play action pass game and, you know, kind of the drop back game is very efficient. And then they're really aggressive on fourth down. So what are they doing is they're staying on the field. Like at the high school level, like you see this all the time, right? Good offenses are hyper aggressive because in high school you run the ball 80% of the time. And so what happens though is a lot of these teams go for it on fourth down because the ultimate goal of getting touches and getting running volume is staying on the field, right? So this is where it's like, I do think there were, again, like this is again, I think Cliff did a great job this year. I think he did a great job last year. There are times where you can see him and you're like, you are not calling this game in a way that is complementary to the defense. And so what I mean by that is you are being hyper aggressive. You're taking shots, which again, I love. Like I'm an offensive minded guy. Do it. But like you're prioritizing explosive offensive production at the expense at times of staying on the field. And I think like that's the thing where it's like if you want to play this complementary football game with a defense that's struggling, I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that say, hey, we need to be a little bit more conservative, like get the first down, get us to fourth and two so we can go for it on fourth down, right? Be a little bit more micro instead of macro in terms of offensive ideas so that you can stay on the field so we can shorten the game, shorten the number of possessions, shorten the exposure to the defense. Now, like to your point, the methodology and how to get that done, I think is different. Like when you look at 2024, they ran the ball on first down. The thing, the trump card last year was that Jaden Daniels did a great job making decisions of when to scramble, keeping them in third and manageable and fourth and manageable situations. And so that is a variable this year that was completely off the table. That was in like a completely different part of everything, quite frankly, this year, right? And so I think not having that and not having that down-to-down efficiency, you felt some of the warts and exposures of the offense and you felt negative game flow. And so I do think like, yes, defensive coaches tend to lean more into that game flow complementary football, but I also think it is a thing. It's a stylistic thing. Now, how to accomplish that is completely different, but I do think that's something that needs to, I think that's a good point and it's something that needs to be talked about. And again, like it might seem a little bit old school, but it is a relevant factor, especially when your defense is struggling. I think that's the thing I want to point out. When your defense is struggling, you have to call games accordingly.
Third down, last year, Washington was 6th. This year, they were 21st. It was one of the biggest drop-offs for them statistically.
I mean, you could feel it, right?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, fourth down rate we knew was going to come down. They were still really good on fourth down. But a year ago, it was historical. It was 23 of 26. So those count, too. That's 23 times you didn't convert on third down that you would subsequently convert. So really that percentage of being in the top 10 in the NFL is closer to 1 when you think about it because you didn't end up punting on that fourth down anyway. I want to get into some of the names trickling out about OC options for Washington. And I also want to drill down a little more on Cliff's offense. We'll do that next on Take Command.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.